so we're going to start this series called Emmanuel. And does anybody remember what that means? Yeah, God with us. And for some people, you're like, oh, I've never heard that. Well, cool. Now you know. Sometimes it's spelled with an E, sometimes with an I. But Emmanuel. You might remember during Christmas time, you've got this focus on this Emmanuel, this God with us, that God came to earth. He was one of us. And so I want to invite you, right as we're taking this morning's offering, that you'd remember that he actually gave himself first. He gave himself first. And so us to give back to him, us to live for his glory, us to give of our time and our energy, our abilities, our finances, our attention, is because he gave first. So let's pray, and then we'll take this morning's offering. God, I want to thank you for the family and friends that are here, some that are in town, some that are all the way from other parts of the world. And Lord, all of us find ourselves here today in such a spot where we need you. Some of us identify with needing you. Some of us are riding this kind of really cool high where we're just really confident. And maybe we don't really think we need you as much. And some of us are confident because we know that you love us and hold us. God, wherever we're at, may we live for you. Wherever we're at, may you get after us today. And I thank you for that little voice. I pray everything will be cool with them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Emmanuel, we're actually going through the book of Revelation for Christmas. This whole month, we're going through the book of Revelation. And so my dear friend gave me a text and said, hey, what could I be reading? Well, today we're actually going to go through just chapter 1. But next week, if you're a note taker, here it is, okay? Next week, chapters 2 through 3. On the 9th, we're going to go ahead and go 4 through 7. On the 16th, we're going to go 8 through 11. On the 23rd, right before Christmas, we're going to do 12 through the 18th. We did not have the wherewithal to recognize that inside of Revelation 12 through 18 talks about the birth of Jesus. That was a total accident on us, but it works out really cool for Christmas time. And then on the 30th, please don't mail this one in. Come and hang out with us because we're talking about the ultimate victory in Jesus. And that'll be the chapters 19 through 22. And that's the end of the Bible. That's where heaven's explained. There's no crying, no tears, there's no dying, nothing bad. Because God's there. There's not even sunshine there. It says because God lights it up with his presence. So let me ask you this. Is it possible that during Christmas season, we can't just say, Revelation for Christmas? We'd say, Revelation for Christmas? That just makes sense. Because who's it revealing? Anybody? It's Jesus. That's what Christmas is about, right? We talk about Christmas. We talk about Jesus coming, that Christi Mass, right? It got started with this recognition of Jesus. And so we want to stick with that. Isn't Christmas season supposed to be about the birth story? Yeah, but what was he born for? Anybody? Yeah, what do you think? Go for it. It's all right. Whatever's on your heart. Amen. And so you guys, maybe some of you heard, Keegan says he was born to save us. And he actually did so by dying. And so here's the big deal. We're going to look at this Savior, not as he came humble and meek. We're going to look at him about his second coming, the second advent, where he comes in and he sets all these captives free. He sets things right and he makes it the way it's supposed to be. And that's good news. But I don't know if you know this, but the fact that he actually was born, lived, died, and rose from the dead, it's already been done. The captives have been set free. You can live that way now. That's what this story is all about. And so, Revelation for Christmas? Absolutely. Absolutely. The good news is always the good news. If you don't want it, nobody can make you have it. don't know if you know this, but way back when Jesus was born, over 2,000 years ago, they were waiting for a Messiah, and he came, and a lot of people missed him. Dear friends, when the Messiah comes back the second time, nobody misses him. Not one eye will go, "What was that?" Not one knee will be able to be like, "Nah, I'm fine. I don't need to bow." Every knee will bow. Not one tongue will be like, "Nah, Jesus." We will worship him. And so why not during Christmas make this big deal out of him? God is with us, literally. Isaiah 7:14 is like, "Hey, the virgin will be with child, and he'll be born, and his name will be Emmanuel." Well, Emmanuel is with us, was with us, and will always be with us. So, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the end of the story. We're going to go to Revelation. Usually, again, Christmas is about the beginning of the Christ story. Well, he was the same yesterday, today, and forever, so we're going to go there. Revelation 1, if you have a black Bible that's underneath one of your seats there, it's on page 1028. If you don't have any Bibles, please take that. If you have it on your phone, go for it. My friend Jamie is up there. He's going to be my clicker. I'll try to not go too quick, but I love this. I'm super stoked about this. You might remember that Jesus had a bunch of followers. Not one of them was what people would look at as this most highly educated person in that first 12. There were some that were really, really super smart, but not highly educated. There was one that was a tax collector. His name is Matthew, and we looked at his story a little bit. He would have been very highly trained. He would have been very articulate. But as far as Jesus was concerned and the things of religion, none of them were religious leaders. He came to just normal people, and he picked just normal people. Good news. We're normal people, and he loves us, and he wants us. All right, Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants, the things that must soon take place. So this was written over 2,000 years ago. Some of us look at soon and go, "Really? Soon, huh?" Bless you. It's not just soon, like from the time it's written. This is in its reality saying, when it happens, it's going to happen, and it's like now. It happens. You can be ready for Jesus to come back. This revelation of Jesus is to show his servants what's going to happen and what must take place soon, what will happen quickly. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant, John. Now, there's a little bit of debate in Christian circles, like, which John is this? Is it some different John from the John that Jesus, like, loved? Like, literally, that was his title, the disciple whom Jesus loved. You might remember John. He had a brother, James. They're called the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. And at one point, Jesus is at the communion table, the Last Supper, the Passover feast. Jesus is there, and John lays his head on Jesus' chest. And some people are like, "Yeah, I don't think that's the John that it is. I think it might have been like an evangelist or like, you know, somebody kind of prophetic way back." There's a lot of debate on that. I'm not going to debate. I'm just going to tell you my quick opinion on this. I think it was the one who wrote the Gospel of John. I think he's the one who wrote John 1, 2, and 3. And I think it was the guy that wrote Revelation. And I think God gave him this. And you can see glimpses of it. But check this out. He sent his angel to this servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it. For the time is near. We're going to come back to that particular verse in just a little bit. But I want to look at a word here, and the word's prophecy. What do you guys think of when you think of the word prophecy? Go ahead. Anybody? Foretelling. Good.
Telling what God wants people to hear.
Exhortation. Good. You know, exhortation, coaching people up, exhorting them. Hey, this is where you should go. This is what it looks like. So prophecy would be foretelling
giving the truth, saying what God wants people to hear, and also what? What's another way that we look at prophecy? It's a revealing. What's that? Future events. A foretelling, right, Peter, where it would be out there. So it's both. It's then and now, and even in the future. And it's all the above right here. It is a truth from God. Look, Warren Wiersbe says, when you have assurance for the future, you have stability in the present. We know who wins because God always wins, but he also wrote it down for us. This is good news, church. Look, I'm not going to be able to explain to you all of the mysteries in this, and I love this book. Like, before I came to Christ, Revelation freaked me out. And if I'm just being honest, even when I was new in my relationship with Jesus, Revelation still kind of freaked me out. But the more I've grown in Jesus, the more I've come to understand that actually him being here is great for us. I've been stoked about the book. And I found out that there's so many different worship songs that we sing today that are from the book of Revelation. As a matter of fact, outside of the Psalms, there's no other book that has this many worship songs from it. And it's so cool. But what I've come to understand is that there's this slain lamb who actually has a throne. And that's just weird. And Jamie, will you go back to the cover thing that says Emmanuel and all that for me? Thank you. First of all, this lamb's got a really big tail, which is kind of weird. But next, it's this majestic looking lamb. You and I are about to read together, not today, but just even next week and the week after that, about a lamb that looks like it's been slain, but it's alive and on the throne. That's just weird and really cool. That lamb is Jesus, and he's also the lion. He's majestic. He's this lamb that's also the shepherd. And so this Emmanuel, this revealing of Jesus, gets unpacked in some great ways, but with this lamb on the throne, I need you to know something. The end is settled. He who was dead is now alive. That's encouragement for us, church. That's encouragement. That's an invitation for us to know that if the end is settled, we can be secure, even right now, when it feels completely messed up. So we'll go back to the text, Revelation 1, and we'll go 4 through 8. I want to remind you that Jesus is the pearl of great price, that he is this treasure in the field, that if you went and gave away everything and had him, you'd still have more. You still would. He is the Christ, the Messiah. He is why we would even celebrate good news coming to people in the dark, because Jesus is the light. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Now that number seven is going to be happening all through the book of Revelation. What do you know about the number seven besides the fact that it's Pastor John's favorite number? It's a number of completion. Thanks, Bob. It's this perfect number. On the seventh day, God rested. It wasn't like, he's like, man, my dogs are barking. I'm real tired here. I'm going to put my feet up. No, it was all good. It was all perfect. Everything was right, just the way it should be. It was complete. It was whole. In God is only completion, perfection, and wholeness. Indeed, wholeness is where we get holiness from. You're complete in him. We're complete in him. And so he says, these are seven churches that are in Asia. These are actually real churches that existed at that time. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits. Oh, what? How many spirits? This is weird. Isn't there only one spirit? God's only one. Go back to the number seven. Completion. Perfection. Seven spirits. A lot of people have a lot of teaching on that. There is one God, one spirit. He's whole and he's complete. Before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, or check it out, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will wail or mourn on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He's perfect. He's awesome. And he's coming. He's coming. Remember, Jesus came in a time when people were hoping for, but had pretty much written off that the Messiah was going to come. Some people had hoped and believed, but many just said, I guess that was just kind of a hopeful prophecy that never will really come true. And now we're in a time where people are like, he says he's coming back, but yeah, it's just a hopeful prophecy that will never come true. Look, he who said it has done it. He is the faithful. He is the amen. And everybody is going to know this. Some of us are in a spot where we know it right now and we believe it. It's coming on the clouds. I don't know if you've actually looked at the clouds. My friend just showed me a picture from a hike he was on yesterday. It was glorious. You ever see when the sun is breaking through the clouds and it looks like the sun rays, you can see them coming down? I always used to wonder as a little kid, and now that I'm a little man, I still wonder, is that what it's going to look like? Jesus, is that how this is all going to go down? It's just poof. Whatever it is, nobody's going to miss it. Nobody's going to blink and like, wait, something just totally different happened here. Everybody's going to know. You see, this that he literally was the first born from the dead. I want to encourage you. I want to remind you of just how awesome Jesus is. One of the critiques of me, and it's fair, is that I mostly will teach milky things. Simple truths, the gospel, over and over again, it's about Jesus. People want some meat and they want some depth, and they're like, we got to find that either on our own or we got to go to a different church. But Aaron, you're just kind of like, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Amen. I am, and I'm not saying that there isn't any depth. I actually love depth. I think depth looks a whole lot more like application, and I could help you more with that. But not being the Holy Spirit, I don't know exactly what you need every single time I see you. I might know some of your story. I might know why you're in a spot that you're in, but I may not know exactly what's going to hit you, but the Holy Spirit will. So I'm just going to make a big deal out of Jesus, and I'll let him apply it for you, and you either do it or don't. But I am going to talk, and I'm going to teach, and I'm going to be excited. So here's my shirt. Jesus saves, bro. Jesus saves, sis. Jesus saves everybody. There's really only bro or sis, so there you go. You're covered on a bro or sis. But my friend and I, we have this longstanding agreement. After Apple Cup, if the Cougs win, I wear Coug gear. Like all week, I wear something cougarish. And if the Huskies win, then he wears something dogish. And I was supposed to wear something Husky today to kind of rub it in. And God said, make a big deal out of Jesus. It doesn't really matter. And it doesn't. I was excited in the moment, and then we moved on. I love the Huskies. I was literally born in the University of Washington. My daughter, Genesis, our daughter, graduated from there. Though we couldn't really pay for her to go there, some of our money went to the University of Washington. I didn't. But you know that my name is etched in the palm of Jesus? So I'm on Team Jesus. That's the big deal about me. And I pray that's a big deal about you guys, and I will continue to make a big deal about that. Is there application and depth? Yes, there is. I told you Jesus is coming. He had already came. He's coming again. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. So what do we do about that? Be ready. You can trust him and be ready. You can believe in him and be ready. You can cry out to him and be ready. You can look around sometimes and go, are you coming back? And you can still be ready with that. But where you can't be ready is when you ignore him. You don't want him. You just look away from him. He won't make you follow him. Do you get that? Here's the craziest thing is he lets you choose. So let's look at this one who lets us choose. We'll go back to Revelation 1, verse 9. We'll just read 9 through 11 here real quick. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Some of you might go, oh, wow. Island on account of Jesus? Homie got a retreat because of Jesus? On this little island retreat? How nice. Ah, I'm on Patmos, just hanging out here. Except when you realize that Patmos was actually a penal island. It was a prison island. Some people may or may not know this about John, but there was this long idea about John that he would never die. He says, I'm a partner in tribulation, and trial and tribulation came his way. But he was the one whom Jesus loved, and he was following Jesus and Peter when they were walking, and Jesus was telling Peter, you're going to die, Pete, and it's not going to be pretty. And Peter goes, well, what about him? And he points back to John. And Jesus goes, hey, what's it to you if he lives forever? You got to follow me. And so history says that most people thought, John's never going to die. As a matter of fact, history also tells us that multiple times he was tortured. One story goes like this. He was boiled, but he didn't die. Check it out. That kind of puts a whole Thanksgiving thing on. Like, what? Boiled? Didn't die? That's weird. No, he wasn't weirded out. He was following God. And he was following him in tribulation. He was following him in pain. And he was patiently enduring because the kingdom at times is about this pain and this tribulation. But even greater than that, he was on this island. Like, we can't even kill him. Send him out. Exile him. Put him out on an island. Leave him alone. We'll shut him up that way. I was on this island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was having Sunday worship. And he was in the Spirit. And check this out. I heard behind me a loud voice, like a trumpet, saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, and to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. You know what the world couldn't do to this man who was a kingdom man? They couldn't shut him up. Hey, Jesus came to him and revealed himself and said, look, write a letter to people you won't be able to see because you're here. Write a letter to my church. Write a letter to my real people. Write a letter that's going to be read forever. Can we look at these words for a second? He was a partner in tribulation, a partner in the kingdom, and a partner in the patient endurance that are all in Jesus. Sometimes on Christmas time, we just get told, look, everything's just glittery and gold, and everything comes true like a Disney flick. in Jesus. Merry Christmas. It's all good. Until it's not. Tribulation is trial and it's trouble. And that will be found, wait for this, in Jesus. The kingdom is in Jesus because it's his kingdom. And look, there's patient endurance that's found in Jesus. John's like, this is who I am. I'm your partner. I'm your bro in all of this. And you heard a voice. You may remember what the voice sounded like? Trumpet. I don't even know what that means. It sounds cool. When I was growing up, my parents listened to all kinds of music. Chuck Mangione was one of those people, and he could get it. And I've never thought, that sounds like a voice. All I ever thought is, that's pretty cool. Horns are pretty rad. But there's this voice that's like a trumpet, and he tells me, write these letters to these seven churches. And so right before this, I literally was typing out these slides, and I'm blessed because I get to send them to people who are smarter than me. They don't know how to actually put them up on the screen and all that. And I just felt like I had to put this one right in the middle. Jesus is awesome. Amen. He's just so awesome. And we're about to find out just how awesome, because the dude that knew him was like, that ain't the Jesus I knew. Watch this. This partner in Jesus, this bro in Jesus, this tribulation guy, this enduring patience dude turns to see the voice. What does that even mean? Hold on. Do you see a voice? Can you see the wind? Okay, preacher's kid. Nice job. Can you see a voice? When it's Jesus, you can. The voice, the word. He turns because he hears this. And he turns to see the voice. Will you join me in Revelation 1, 12 through 16? Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. Hey, John, make up your mind. Was it a trumpet or was it many waters? It was both. I can't even stand it. He can't even get out. It's like wool. No, it's like snow. Oh, my goodness. And his eyes, man, they're on fire. And his feet were like burnished bronze. Man. Now, we can look back and go, oh, okay, well, there's refiner's fire. And he is the fire. And he's the judge and all that. Homie's just trying to spit out what it looks like. Because it's so awesome. This isn't the t-shirt, Jesus is my homeboy, okay? This isn't the, you know what, I laid my head on his chest. We were tight. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. Go check out Hebrews 4:12 when you get a chance. God's word is living and active like a double-edged sword. It even knows how to split between soul and spirit. The joints on your body and marrow. This thing is powerful. And that's what was coming out of his mouth. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Merry Christmas. This is majestic. He is majestic. He is awesome. His face is like the sun in full strength. Anybody ever just do the foolish move of looking at the sun? I know some of you are, yes, when I was a kid. Okay. Last week. Thank you. Good job. Here goes, you know, I'm getting ready to get into my 49th year of life, and I'm just like, yeah, I've done that recently. I was driving into Monroe, and I was coming back in the sun. You could see it through the fog, and it was cool, and you could see the circle, and I just kept looking at it, thinking, oh, it's behind the fog. I should be all right. Gosh, until I closed my eyes, I was like, oh, everything's... And I was like, should have pulled over. I mean, this, and that was like blocked. Jesus' face was like full sunshine, just in its brilliance. And when John saw it, well, let's read his response, verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. That should sound like Daniel because he did the same thing. But he laid his right hand on me saying, fear not, which is also all through the book of Daniel. And you're going to hear it again through here. Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. This is the author of life, and he says, I also have the keys to death and the keys to Hades. Hades is like this hellish existence that's really where a lot of times we're explained in the Bible that that's hell. It's where the dead ones are. And Jesus has the keys to both of those. And he says, look, don't be afraid. I was dead. Now I'm alive. We have hope in him. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. That's such good news, church. He says, though a man dies, yet shall he live. When we're done breathing here, it's not over. We'll either be separated forever from Jesus or we will be with him forever because he owns life and he owns death. Church, I want life for everybody. I commit to you that going deeper is important to me, but how much deeper can we get than to follow Jesus Christ? He owns it all, so do what he says. Well, I don't know what he's saying. Pastor, you should tell me, hey, look, I'm not Jiminy Cricket, I'm not the Holy Spirit, and I can't be your conscience. But I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to point you to him. I'm going to follow him with you. I'm going to fall down on my face, and I'm going to make mistakes, and you're going to help pick me up, and I'm going to help pick you up. And we're going to remember the one who was dead and now is alive forevermore. The one who owns life and death. So he says, fear not. Write, therefore, the things you've seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. Foretelling, like tell what it is, and forthtelling, tell what's going to come. But you're going to see all the way through this series and all the way through the Christmas series and all the way through any breath that I get a chance to have, we're going to talk about Jesus. Because he was and is to come. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Some people believe those are angels over the churches. Some people believe that they were the pastors of the churches, the messengers there. Personally, I think it could be both. I think it's a then and now kind of thing. It's a power that is so mysterious in the heavenly realms, and then it's just real people. I don't espouse pastors to be angels. I'm not saying that. My favorite Christmas movie is It's a Wonderful Life. Don't get your theology from that movie. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. It's a trumpet. No, I'm just kidding. Seriously. So the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. He owns them. He walks among them. He knows his people. We're going to look next week at a message that was written thousands of years ago for seven different churches, and we can receive teaching, admonishment, correction, commendation even, like, good job, church. And the warnings that come from them. But I told you I would go back to Revelation 1:3, and so I want to ask you to join me there. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. What are you going to do with this? Church, what is it that God is talking to you about? Some of you are like, first of all, don't call me church. I don't even know about all this Jesus stuff. I'm just here. Cool. That might be the first step. Is that you would recognize that he's God. He's majestic and he owns it all. I read a little excerpt from this woman's book, and her name is really hard to pronounce. I don't know if she's European or what, but she used to be an atheist. And she was pretty hardcore with it. She got challenged over and over again in debates and all this kind of stuff. But one time somebody was just loving to her and said, look, I can't talk you out of all this. I would just ask you to, with your heart, consider the claims of Jesus himself. Because she had even recognized that he was a good teacher, if not a fantastical, mysterious, mythical teacher. She's like, oh, he's a pretty good teacher. But this person lovingly challenged her to do that, and so she did. She went and saw that it was teaching for her soul, and that it was weird for her because she's an atheist, but, well, it can make me a better person just to follow these teachings because, you know, where do we get morality except from religion and religious people? And so that's where she was at for a little bit. And then she started to look at some of the scientific, miraculous claims of Jesus's people, that he was born of a virgin. So she looked at all the prophecies that she could, and lots of people written on that, and she was like, whoa, check, 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 check. All of them. She's like, this is weird. She's like, nobody could actually pick where they were born. And so she's like, maybe this stuff is true. I'm not sure. Then she looks at the resurrection and how everything just changed after that. For a bunch of people who had seen Jesus and saw him do miracles, but they scattered. But when he rose from the dead and he showed himself to them, they're like, this is real. And they went and they told the world, and she was hooked. She took a long time, but she came to Jesus. And now she's telling people, and people debate her on Twitter. And she's like, I don't want to debate you. I just want to ask you to consider what I was considering. But the point is that some of you are at a spot where you need to actually not just see and hear, but you need to do what's written. Do the hard work of forgiveness. Do the hard work of not making it all about you. The story actually doesn't begin and end with you. It begins and ends with Jesus. And so for some of you, you've got Christmas and you're like, well, I don't really do the whole Black Friday, but I'm all about that Cyber Monday. Or I'm just about whatever I can because I want to give, because that's the name of the game for Christmas is to give. And I love you and I love that. And I think that's great that you would be generous. Maybe where your generosity needs to grow isn't in giving people who already have a bunch of stuff more stuff. Maybe it's giving people who don't have much or anything at all a chance. Please don't feel guilty about what you've already done. I'm asking you to consider right now that we would turn Christmas upside down and actually make it about him again. That we would give not because he needs anything, but because people in this world need something. Maybe for some of you, you've been thinking, look, I know I should have done something with Caleb's dream. I don't have any money for that. Ask you to consider, do you? Do you have something for that? Do you have something to help somebody who's a neighbor who can barely keep the lights on and barely keep the water going, much less get anything for their kids, maybe you give them something. Maybe you sit down with your kids and go, hey, look, I know that you're tripping on that coat, and I know you'd really like it, and it would look so good on you. But we want to pay the water bill for our neighbors. And for us to be able to do that, you're probably not getting that coat. Maybe for us, we get rid of the time of the year mysterious materialism that is accepted because you could go outside and see a BMW with a red bow. Oh, is it? Me either. Just work away from that and work to how awesome Jesus is. And what would he have me do during this season? Again, here at this church, you have a chance to give through Crosswater. We're not asking for stuff so we can buy our kids electronics. We're asking for stuff so we can give kids a chance to have health care. That's just a local thing. There's so many things. You've gotten stuff in the mail, I'm sure. I know I have. And finally, there's a relational application for many of you. This idea of reading the words of this prophecy and keeping what's written in it would look like relational connection. First, again, with God, and then with others, people you can see. The holidays are tough, because for some of us, our loved ones are gone. Either we don't know them, or they've passed away. I would ask you right in that moment to trust this great I Am, to hold you and to strengthen you, and let you know that in him, you're going to be all right. As a matter of fact, you're going to thrive. But then you have people that are still living and you have a chance to talk to them. You have a chance to forgive them. You have a chance to reach out to them. And it's scary as it gets. But the power of Jesus, the one that holds death and Hades in his hand, the one who speaks and everything gets made the way it's supposed to be, he's given you the power to forgive, the power to connect, the power to step out. To shoot your shot, but not for a date, for a connection, for forgiveness, for pointing people to this Emmanuel. Friends, I don't know what your application is. Jesus does. I was praying with some people after first service, and they were asking, what do I do to connect with my grandchildren? They've got a lot of things going on, and most of it is so far from God. And I don't want to just see them and harass them and tell them how wrong they are. How do I? And we just prayed, Jesus, you're the great I Am. You own it all. You're perfect. How do we connect with people who don't agree with us? How do we love people that feel like love means you approve of everything that I do? Because I can't approve of everything that they do, but I really love them. I'm just like, God, show us. You don't have to lead with, man, that's terrible, and you're going to hell in a handbasket. But you also can't just leave out that God doesn't hate you, and he doesn't, like, condemn you. But he doesn't want that for you. You would actually have yourself condemned if that's what you're choosing. So we're just like, Lord, what do we do? That's how the conversation ended with God. We don't know really what to do and how to do it. Show us. And he will. And he has. So wherever your application is, may you be highly successful, giving God the glory, giving him the praise, knowing that he's revealed and he's always with us. Always. God, your people right here, right now, God, we need you so much. Father, I know that there is men and women, even young people who are sitting here that aren't too sure about what they think about you. May they spend this month reading your word, reading the end of the story. As weird as some of it's going to get, the truth is, you're alive. Though you were dead, now you're alive. That baby grew up. Christmas is worth celebrating because you are the Messiah, the Redeemer. So we submit ourselves to you, submit our relationships, our finances, indeed, even our time and our energy to you. I love you. I love these people. I lift them and their family and their friends to you. God, may we shine for your great glory. May we go deeper than we could ever have imagined, knowing that you've already been there. And you are Emmanuel. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.